Our business life is replete with cases, scenarios, eventualities of two individuals trying to make a deal, where one has a void and the other has the ability to fill it. One might have a building and his friend, his colleague, his business associate might have funding or the accessibility to funding to be able to obtain and purchase that building that his friend is trying to sell. One might need assistance in business, and another business owner might need some help, and there might be an employment agreement being structured. One would have a warehouse full of closeouts. He's looking to liquidate, and a buyer trying to purchase those movables, referred to in halacha as metaltalin. In every deal, there's a process. They start negotiating slowly, working up the meeting of the minds, trying to iron out the, come closer and closer to an agreement, ironing out the faults in the agreement, putting it on paper, and going forward and trying to actually close the deal. Being that these two individuals always start out on two totally different pages, if you will, and the process of negotiation functions as a way to bring the parties together on the same page. More often than not, there's miscommunications as to what exactly each party of the deal is going to be giving and receiving in return. And to make things all the more complicated, as with every facet of Torah life, of halacha, halacha has its unique way of looking at things, and Torah has its very special way of putting together a deal. And when drafting a document, when drafting a contract, the legalese or the terminologies that is in a typical contract that would be essential in civil law could be meaningless when it comes to how halacha would view it, how the Beis Din system would view it, and vice versa, the methods that halacha necessitates, the requirements that halacha requires to perform certain transactions was probably something a lawyer might not focus on at all. And it's essentially important to make sure that our deals and our contracts are reviewed. And why is this so important? The Rambam and his words are echoed by the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Chavav, the famous words. It's derived from a Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'ila Mishpatim, Asher Tosim Lufneim. We have an obligation to bring our Mishpatim, to bring our Mishpat to Beis Din. And Lo Lufnei Arkois, not in front of the civil court. And the Rambam is uncharacteristically strong in the terminology he uses, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes his exact lashon, "Asur ladun b'fnei dayonim b'fnei arkoi shalahem." It's asur for a person to adjudicate in front of a civil court. Filu nisratza beis bali adin. Even if both parties are in agreement that we're going to go to a civil court to work out our differences, it's asur. V'chol abol lidam b'fneiem. Anybody who goes ahead and files a suit in a civil court without the proper heterim, which will be discussed in other shiurim, says the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, Hareza Rasha, he is considered a Rasha. And the Poiskim point out that he's considered he would be Pasul Eidus, he would not be allowed to testify in court in a Beis Din. It's as if he lifted a hand against the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's obvious when two Jews enter into a deal, it's very important that they're going to be turning to Beis Din to settle their dispute. And when drafting the deal and drafting the document and going through the different levels of commitment, it's extremely important to incorporate Choshen Mishpat and to have it reviewed by a Choshen Mishpat professional, to ensure that all the clauses and all the terms are effective al pi halacha as well as in secular law. Too many times individuals have come to Beis Din in total shock, realizing that all the money spent on legal fees didn't stand up in the Beis Din, and although in the court it would have been sound and it would have been binding, but in Beis Din it was a different picture. In this section of the series, we'll focus a little bit on the halacha's outlook on contracts, on commitments, and acquisitions. And we will be discussing five concepts, five levels of commitment, different stages of the negotiation, and what they mean in halacha, so we can get a little bit of a taste of how the halacha views certain commitments and contracts and obligations. I'll just run through the different levels of commitment and explain briefly how they're viewed, and in the subsequent shiurim, Bezras Hashem will take one by one, and we'll analyze it. We'll take a closer look at analyzing each one of these levels. The first level, which is something that's really not, it's something to be aware of. It's not really for the average individual. It's based on a Gemara in Bava Basra. It's a mental commitment. A person who in his mind agrees to a specific commitment or agrees to purchase an item or to sell an item, in halacha, in Torah law, it's not binding at all. However, the Gemara in Bava Basra relates that there was a tzaddik, a righteous tanner of Safra, that was kaim benafshe v'dover emes b'lvavoy. He accepted upon himself the stringency of following through even something that he thought about doing and he committed in his mind to do, even though he hadn't verbalized it, and he hadn't agreed to it, and he definitely hadn't told the other party that he agreed to do it. Rav Safra was of that stature that he was able to, that he wanted to uphold that thing, and Rashi brings down a famous story. That this Gemara is referencing, and that story is that Rav Safra was saying Kriya Shema, and Rashi says V'omar le'ahu gavra, and another individual, he was there, he was by a fair, and he was trying to sell his wares, and an individual came over to him in the middle of Kriya Shema, and he said Havli iskech, can you please sell me your package, sell me what you're trying to, your wares, and I'll give you this amount of money, and Rav Safra didn't answer because Rav Safra was in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'savar, this individual thought shemishum miut domim hu shoisek. He thought he was under the assumption that the reason why he was ignoring him was because he hadn't named the right price. So he went up and he kept on offering more and more money until he reached a very high price. And when Rav Safra finished Kriya Shema, Rav Safra turned to him and he said, "I'd like to sell it to you for the original price because when you offered that price, I was fine with it, and I had committed in my mind to deliver the goods at that price, and therefore I would follow through and to be mekayim the pasuk of doiver emes v'lvavoy." The Mordechai in Maseches Kedushin explains why it is that Rav Safra was so adamant and wanted to follow through with it. He hadn't even spoken it out. He hadn't even agreed to it verbally. And the Mordechai explains that there's a concept in halacha called amirasoi legvoya kemisirasoi lehedjet. When a person makes a pledge in shul to purchase an aliyah, or he makes a pledge to donate a certain amount of money to a tzedakah or to the Beis HaMikdash, which is really what the halacha is talking about, the Beis HaMikdash, so verbally agreeing to donate money to Beis HaMikdash is as if you have already turned over those funds. Halacha views it as if the Hektish, the Beis HaMikdash, has already acquired the funds. There's a discussion in the Poskim if today's tzedakas have that same halacha, but simply speaking, when one donates something to Hektish, the mere verbalization of that pledge is actually transfers over the article and it becomes the asset of Hektish. If a person thinks in his mind, there's a pasuk that says beficha zutzdok. If a person even thinks of his mind to donate a certain amount of money, there are obligations. Says the Mordechai that a yorei shemayim like Rav Safra is chayiv mishechishev he obligates himself in all his transactions by way of even verbally and even by just thinking the obligation. And the reason is because a tzaddik, a righteous person on Rav Safra's caliber, in his transactions, everything he does is a davar shebekdusha. So when he uses his mind and his assets to make transactions and acquisitions, he's doing everything l'shem shemayim, and therefore he wants to follow through on his commitments and on his pledges, even if he just verbally he just verbalized them, or if he even thought them. That's the first level of commitment, which is Daiver Emes Balvavoy, which al pi halacha in halacha does not have is not binding, but it's definitely a righteous act to follow through. The second level that we find, which we'll discuss in the subsequent shiurim, is Mechusar Amona. When a person agrees to make a purchase, he verbally agrees to make a purchase or to give an insignificant gift, a small gift. Many times, and we'll go through the limitations to this halacha, but although it's not binding, and a person can renege, but there's a concept called Ein Ruach Chachamim Noicha Himeno. If a person reneges on a verbal commitment, even to transact, even to purchase, or to buy something, there's the Chachamim look down on a person who reneges and goes back on his word. And there are many times where this does not apply, which we will speak about in the other shiurim, but that's the second level. When a person verbalizes and he agrees verbally, I will purchase this property, this article for a certain price, if that price if the price is still standing, there would be a concept of Ein Ruach Chacham Noicha Himeno if he backs out. The next term, the next concept that's brought down in halacha is the concept of Mishapara. When a person makes a transaction, there's many different ways, which we'll discuss, of how a person can actually effectuate a transaction, a kinyan, and how different articles go from one owner to another. The halacha is that in today's day, the Chachamim instituted that when a person buys a movable object, he buys a computer, he buys he buys furniture, that transaction only is effective when he takes possession of the item. Even if he pays or if he gives a credit card over the phone and they're about to ship it, the transaction has not yet been consummated and the article still belongs to the seller. The buyer did not acquire that specific item. He has to take possession in order to acquire it. However, the Chachamim have instituted that if a person pays for an item and then he backs out of that item and he reneges on the agreement and he cancels the order, it would be considered, he would get a curse that's discussed in the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Perek Azov. Mishapor le'anshei dor ha'mabul, le'anshei dor ha'floga, the Rabbeinu Shalom Hashem, who paid back, who gave an einish, gave a punishment to the men who lived in the times of the Mabul and in the times of Dor HaFloga, which were Rishoyim, he should give the same, a similar punishment to somebody who does not uphold his word and who backs out of a sale after the money was transferred. So that's a higher level of the Mechus Armana. We'll discuss the differences in the later Shiurim, but the third concept is the concept of Mishapara. When a person gives money, he's locked in a way that if he will back out, although he has the right to back out and he can't technically back out, Bezda would not force him to uphold the deal, but he would get a curse of Mishapara L'Anshei Dor HaMabul, which is not something we would like to be set upon us. The fourth level of commitment, which is in the normal transactional stages, is the contract. A contract is not a kinyan. It's not a sale. It's an agreement. It's an agreement to buy, and it's in secular law and civil law, the contracts is a binding agreement. We will discuss the different weaknesses that a typical contract has when in halacha's eyes. Is a concept of the davar shalei bal oilam, that a sale on something on a future, a building that is to be built, if a person were to purchase an apartment on paper in a building that is not yet built, it's a problem of Dovah Shalom Olam. An agreement to purchase is problematic in halacha. It needs to be worded in the right way in order to make it effective. There's inyanim of a smachta. There's different fines that are stipulated in a contract for lack of performance, which would not hold up in the event that if it's not structured properly, if it's not written the way the Torah would like it to be written. So that's the average contract, which is not the kinyan. And finally, we will discuss, Bezras Hashem, the actual kinyan, the actual closing, the actual consummation of the deal. And we will show how each and every type of article that is being transferred has a special kinyan that's made. There's different kinyanim for metaltalin, for movable objects. There are different kinyanim and methods of acquisition when purchasing real estate or purchasing articles that move. Purchasing from Jew would be different than purchasing from a non-Jew. And what's important just to be aware is that, as we said, it's important that our deals are structured with halacha in mind. And although it's very important to make sure that they're legally sound and binding, but it's equally as important to make sure that all our deals are done and structured al pi hilchos chayshe mishpat, and this will enable them to be binding al pi halacha, and we'll have less surprises if it ever came to a Beis Din.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.